Our scripture reading this morning, our New Testament scripture, is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of God. And you he made alive when you were dead through trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind. And so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of humankind. But God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And may God bless unto us this reading from his holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It happened to me last summer, says Will Walden Howard, writer of Faith at Work magazine. My wife had just left for 8 weeks of study in Spokane, Washington, and I was alone in our house in Baltimore, Maryland. I liked being alone for the first 10 minutes or so, but as time passed, I became quite lonely. That first Sunday morning after my wife had left, I fixed breakfast and took it out on the deck to enjoy the warm sunshine of a new day. And that is when I noticed a strange bird in the trees that overhang our deck. Some kind of warbler was singing his heart out. Luckily, my appearance didn't scare him away. I thumbed through my wife's bird book trying to identify him. And when I couldn't, I made a careful drawing of all his markings and slipped it into the book for future reference. Soon I discovered that my visitor wasn't singing to me, though he didn't mind my sharing this song. There was another warbler nearby, and he was courting her. Before long, they set up housekeeping in our birdhouse that never before had been occupied, and the couple became my daily companions. In due time, I heard the sounds of baby birds inside the birdhouse, and watched the comings and goings of two attentive parents bringing bits of food to their offspring. As summer wore on, I began to hope that the birds would still be around for my wife Esther to see on her return. My hope reached its height on the Friday before she came home. The young birds, to my knowledge, had not even emerged from the birdhouse. So, of course, I thought the birds would still be there for Esther to see the next day. Saturday morning, I drove to the airport. But when Esther and I got back to the house, the birds, all of them, were gone. I have never seen them again. But one day, thumbing through Peterson's field guide to the birds, I came across a bird that perfectly matched the identification of my summer visitor. It was a black-whiskered vireo, though the book says They only live in Florida. Scrutinizing my drawing carefully, I noticed I had written down the date, June 20th, and realized that that was the first day I had been alone in the house. And suddenly, a sense of wonder began to flood over me. What was to be made of the fact that during the precise time of Esther's absence and my subsequent loneliness, I was visited with two heavenly messengers who came the day Esther left and departed on the day of her return, having gone through the complete cycle of mating, raising their young, and flying away. I was startled at what I at first considered a coincidence. But later reflection confirms my conviction that this was an act of God's grace, of His intervention into the ordinary events of my life in a manner that I can only interpret as evidence of His unseen hand. The meaning only appeared later as I looked back and saw how the pieces fit together. And I'm left wondering, how many other signs of God's care are given that I don't see? To the crowds that followed after Him, Jesus said over and over again, "If you had eyes to see, if only you had ears to hear." What did Jesus see and perceive that we fail to perceive? Robert Louis Stevenson writes, "There is nothing but God's grace. We walk upon it, we breathe it, we live and die by it. It is the heart of the universe." You and I, and all of us in this world, have experienced the mysterious grace of God. In our birth, in the events that shaped our lives, in the expressions of kindness and courtesy extended by strangers and friends, and yes, even in the music we have heard today sung by the chancel choir, God's grace has been at work. But have we recognized His grace? If only we had eyes to see and ears to hear. The fresh discovery of divine grace was the basis for the Protestant Reformation of the 16th and 17th centuries. The statement from Ephesians in this morning's scripture was the point of theological reference for all the reformers. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest anyone should boast. Luther expressed the thought of this verse in a simple phrase, sola gratia, only by grace. Grace is such a beautiful word, and that is why so many women, I suppose, have been called grace. It connotes generosity, kindness, love. But grace is more than a feminine name. It is a term applied to God and is profoundly, profoundly rich in meaning. Divine grace can be recognized in everything around us, the birds of the summer, the leaves of autumn, the snows and rains of winter and spring. No wonder that even the secular world loves to sing that old familiar hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." But God's amazing grace, according to our Christian faith, can be most clearly recognized in a person, in Jesus Christ. Christ came to our world to live among us, to share with us His insights. And then, as was spoken during the children's sermon, He gave His life. He died for us upon a cross. Through Christ, God has done it all. He has provided us with forgiveness, with salvation, with life abundant. It is all through God's initiative accomplished in His divine Son. By grace, you have been saved. Occasionally, my wife has surprised me by saying, completely without prompting, "I love you, honey." Immediately, I have responded, "Why did you say that? What have I done?" And her answer is, "It's not what you've done. I just love you, honey." How frustrating not to know what I've done. And so it is, in another sense, with God. God extends His grace to us, not because of anything we have done, but just because He loves us. God's grace is a gift that we cannot earn. We can only recognize it and then receive it gracefully. Is divine grace near? Is it close to you? It is as near and as real as you will allow that grace to be. You can shut your eyes to it, you can stop your ears to it, but still it is there among you, as present as the person of God. Scripture says that God has lavished this grace upon you. He doesn't withhold it even when you neglect it or ignore it. God is at work in the lives of us all. By His grace, He is directing us, coaxing us, moving us toward the high goal of our Lord Jesus Christ. God speaks to us in the stillness of our hearts. He reveals His word to us in the events of our lives. His grace is above us, beneath us, beside us, and working deep within us. Indeed, how true, by grace you have been saved. Charles Swindoll has written, "Not by working, or by joining, or by paying, or by going, but believing on Him. Not by stopping, or by trying, or by giving, or by crying, but believing on Him. Not by brains, little cutie, or trusting in your beauty, but believing on Him. Not by fasting or outlasting, or by money, little honey, but believing on Him. Not by Sunday school attendance or keeping Ten Commandments, but believing on Him. Not by going underwater or even dating preacher's daughter, but by believing on Him." Let us bow in prayer. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear that we are sustained by Your grace. We are led forth by the hand of Jesus Christ to walk toward You, to live our lives in You, and to find fulfillment in You. Lord, bless us and keep us in Your grace. Through Christ we pray. Amen.